This is oddly different for me to be in my living room this morning preaching, but circumstances does not always dictate that it's going to be comfortable or it's going to be what we desire. So wherever we find ourselves, God is there. I want you to know that God does not only dwell in the building that we have so traditionally worshiped in. God dwells within our heart, and that's the place where we want to meet him in our spirits as we offer up our sacrifices of praise today. Let me put before you a concept that is most prevalent this time of the year. Y'all are familiar with the word Advent. Amen. And a lot of us hear the word, a lot of us have no true association with the word, maybe for concepts of religious purposes, maybe because we just not have attached ourselves to it in an intellectual way or in a practical way to where we have made Advent a part of our day of our lives in a consistent and purposeful manner. But one thing about it, we've all have participated in the activities of Advent. So what I want to do this morning as we just kind of look at that, and this is not the sermon, it's just the sermon is based off of the concept of Advent. So let me give you a good identification with the word Advent, if you don't mind. You could take a note or two. That'll be just fine. Advent. Advent is the season of the liturgical year observed in most Christian denominations as a time of expectant waiting. And that we really need to put our focus on. That's one of the good things of this earthly celebration, this human celebration, the secular celebration that we call Christmas. During this time of Advent, one thing that holds true is that during this season, it was formed out of the concept of an expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the nativity of Christ at the Christmas season and the return of Christ at the second coming. That is what Advent is all about. Now, nobody needs to get into these arguments about whether Christmas is this or Christmas is that, because we've all, most of us, let me say, have celebrated Christmas in some form or the other. And I take it in this way, that as far as the celebration of Christmas, we know that it's not so much the 25th of December represents the birth of Christ, but rather this season represents the time when Christ was to come. And so we acknowledge not just during this season, but we acknowledge every day of our lives, and particularly on the Lord's Day, Sunday, all day, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He did come. He was born. He did live, he died, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me say this, I am thankful for the birth of Christ. Aren't you just thankful that Jesus was born? And so because of his birth, we acknowledge that in his birth, God had a definite purpose for sending his son through the agreement of the triune Godhead, that he would come to earth for specific reasons, and Jesus came and accomplished those reasons. And this season of acknowledging the anticipated waiting of the Christ to come, we call Advent. Say amen when you can. I wish I could hear you. Anyhow, that's what that's all about. And so I want you to take your Bibles this morning, follow me through the reading. I'm going to really, really try to not extend the sermon past your ability to be patient. if that makes any sense at all. So I'm going to not hasten through it, but I want to get to it so that you and I might be filled with a good understanding. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew. The chapter is 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse number 18 through verse number 25. It's a lengthy reading, but then I think you and I need to get the true gist of what this awaiting, or rather the anticipated waiting and the expectant waiting idea is all about. So in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 18, listen to this. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things," I thank God that Joseph thought about these things. I thank God that he considered in his heart that there possibly had to be something more special about Mary being pregnant and had never been touched by a man before. I'm thankful that he thought about not putting away secretly or hiding her out. God had planted the seed of his son in Mary through what we call the Immaculate Conception, and it's by God's design that Mary was with child. Are y'all following this? And so Joseph thought about that, and I'm saying just in brief that you and I need to be careful in doing things that God had all doing things against that, rather, that God has already placed in our lives, and we have other thoughts of doing something different. We need to stop and think about those things before we move forward. Listen to God and what God has to say about it. And so the Bible continues and said he thought about these things, and while he thought about them, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." That's right out of Isaiah chapter 7. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Somebody say Jesus this morning. Now, I want you to rest your thoughts on the subject this morning, the expectation of a coming king. The expectation of a coming king. It was in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, that it was a dual prophecy based on the prophet by God, that there would come a king. In that particular passage of scripture, it said, and a virgin would bear a son. And even back there, 7,000 some years ago, it said that they would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so the prediction of the coming of the King that would have a present impact and a future impact happened many, many years ago before Christ was born. We have to understand God does everything intentionally. Whatever God is doing is not random, is not mediocre, is not haphazardly, but it is intentional. And we need to have an intentional approach to God when God is moving in our own personal lives. We need to hear what the Lord is saying, and we need to adjust and conduct ourselves for that which God said would happen. And so back in Isaiah, there was a promise that a king would come because Israel was in need of someone leading, directing, and guiding them. And so this prophecy came through the mouth of Isaiah because Israel themselves had gone astray, and God was trying to bring them back to a relevant and righteous relationship with himself. That's some of the issues we're dealing with in the world today. Those are the issues that we have dealt with in the world since the beginning of time. So it's not unusual, but we would think that at some point, the way we approach life, the way we approach responding to people, the way we approach dealing with God would be in a much, much better way, but it really hasn't gotten to that. And I'm of the mindset that things doesn't necessarily have to get better for God to do better. God is always doing wonderful things in our lives, but things seem to always take place in a downturn. We just came through a very crucial election year. And the remnants of that is still around. There are particles of hurt still floating about in this country, not only in this country, but in the world, because the world looked at how we handle a very negative situation. And I know we don't, you know, some people say, well, y'all not talk about the political things, but it's the political things that affect what we do. And so we've had to deal with a vile president for the last 4 years. And here we are now with a president that seems to have the right heart. We don't know. He hadn't been tried in that way. We can't say because we have not experienced them yet. But I pray that God will keep his hands on President Biden and Vice President Harris, that things will go according to God's will and not according to their will. It's when our will gets in the way that things get messed up. Now, I want you to think about this based on what the subject is this morning, the expectation of a coming king. Some of us, when it comes to expectation, have already decided how this president is going to lead this administration. But let me tell you something, be careful of your expectation, because we may be disappointed. We don't know. Our goal and anticipation and our expectation is that we follow the Lord. I anticipate what God is going to do. So I expect good things to happen. I can't determine what a man will do, because men are always doing what their heart leads them to do. Amen. And so as we look at the concept of the coming, the expectation of a coming king, this king, the king in Isaiah, was not only born not long after the prophecy, but the dual prophecy. Here we see Jesus being born much, much later on, which is a more important birth than the king that was born not many days after the prophecy was made in Isaiah. Are y'all following that? And so the expectation of what that king would do was that he would raise up, he would be a warrior king, he would prevent some of the oppression of the enemies of Israel, and would fight their battles and would pull together armies to defend them against an oppressive enemy that was pursuing them. And he would do that with his own physical might. He would do that with weapons of war, but that's not the intention that, or was not the intention that God had for Christ. So we need to, and our expectation of the Christ needs to be one of a spiritual nature and not so much one of a physical nature. Y'all all right this morning? And so I want to look at three things this morning when it comes to expectation, and then this lesson is going to be yours. When we look at the concept, even in the verses, as we try to follow the exposition of these verses, I want to look at, first of all, the expectation with anticipation. What do you anticipate from this Christ, this Messiah, who even now dwells with us? Jesus, through his promise, said that he's going away to prepare a place for us. And even now, he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He appeals our case. He has the ability to do that because he's become our ultimate advocate. Whenever you and I mess up, whenever you and I do wrong, whenever you and I, because we belong to him, he speaks to God on our behalf. What is your anticipation and expectation of the Christ in the position of where he is now? How are you living your life of expectation? Some of us are just going through life right now kind of in a wondering fashion because of the epidemic. We don't know what the total outcome of this epidemic is. But I was given, let me say, listen to what I'm saying. I was given an expectation in anticipation of a cure for this virus. Are y'all following that? So there is expectation with anticipation. And what I'm hopeful of is through God's mercy and God's grace that he will give those who are in the medical field the ability to come up with a source of a vaccine, an antidote to this virus that will take it out of our lives, not so much, but yes, to get back to a place of some normalcy. But as y'all all know, life is not normal anymore. Say amen if you can. And so because it's not normal, because we probably will not get back to some of the aspects of normalcy, what do you anticipate, and what through your expectation of those who are guiding this process, what's your expectation of them? And we really, and here's my point about expectation with anticipation, we just don't know the outcome of those things. Are y'all listening? But let me tell you something as I go forward. When we talk about the expectation of anticipation, the fact about that is, just like in the text, the fact is that he is coming. He is coming. When we look at the birth of Jesus during this at the Advent concept here in Matthew chapter 1, when Mary conceived with the God child in her belly, I can anticipate something not just positive, something not just meaningful, something that's more impactful in a way. It's not those, it's eternal. Because now it's the Lord's hand that is guiding the process. So I anticipate good things during this time of pandemic because I believe God's hand is on our lives. And let me say this, church. We've experienced death. We've experienced sickness. Some people so sick that even after the 14 days of quarantining with the virus, they are still reaping residual issues with this virus, and it continues to play itself out in many various ways. It's unpredictable. And so we can't trust anything where that's concerned, but we can trust that God is doing something greater than what we see right now. And patience is a part of that process. We have to be more patient in what the Lord is doing rather than what man is doing right in front of us. And I'm hoping, because I'll take the vaccine if it's proven, if it's ready, if it's tested, I'll take it, because I know the benefit and effect it would have on my life. Amen. So expectation with anticipation says to us this morning that though my circumstances in the physical realm are not what I desire, God's hand is on my life. And because of that, great things will happen. Is that all right? Second point, expectation with celebration. Now, this right here, I tied it to another concept, and that is the predicament of his coming. Let me read to you the passage of scripture here, beginning with, give me just a second, beginning with verse number 20, the Bible says this, but while he thought about these things, the predicament of his coming, the anticipation of celebration. Because he's coming, we ought to celebrate. Are you following what I'm saying? But the predicament is that there is uncertainty of the circumstances of Mary, because Joseph is challenged with the fact that he hadn't laid a hand on her. Y'all know how we are. Men, you know, here it is in 2020 and not much have changed. You know, young women are still having babies out of wedlock. And I hope, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just want you to see the broader picture. And I remember times when that would happen, it was presented as a very shameful act. And even in the culture of Joseph during his time, during that day, it was shameful for that to happen when everybody in your village, when everyone in your community knew that you were courting, and I'm going to use that word, you were betrothed, the Bible say. He was already given. The proxy had been paid. The wedding was set. This was virtually, Mary rather, virtually was Joseph's wife, but without the ceremony. And so because of that, he was not to have contact sexually with her. And he did not. But because of the predicament, remember expectation of celebration, we want to celebrate the coming of the Christ, but there is a predicament that Joseph finds himself in. And this is the predicament of his coming, which may hinder the celebration or the spirit of celebrating the coming of the Lord. There are times in our lives, and this is the point I want to make about that, just as Joseph, knowing, that's why he put thought to these things. That's why he had pause about keeping Mary in his life or taking her to Bethlehem for the activities that were to go on there. He did not want to be seen with her. And so he began to contemplate within himself what he would do. And his decision was, I'll just put her away privately, and that way I won't have to deal with that. What that would have done was hold up, or as I said earlier, would hinder God's plan. It would hinder it momentarily. God always has a plan for what he's trying to do. And let me say this. It doesn't stop God from doing what he intends to do and what he's already purposed to do. I believe whatever God has purposed to do is going to happen regardless of what you and I will do. We may not be engaged in the process, but if he's chosen you to be a part of it, you're going to be a part of it one way or the other. Amen? And so we celebrate the coming of the Christ, but the predicament is that Mary has not had a man. How do we explain that away? When we resolve, here you go, when we resolve within our spirit, when difficult times come, even difficult times, follow me, sometimes we need to thank God for the difficulty. Now, I know you're kind of sitting back on that, but even when trouble comes, don't you remember Paul, I believe it is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, when he was talking about all of the trials that he had gone through and all the difficulty that he was faced with, and he talked about the thorn in the flesh that he had received, and how there was an angel, a messenger of Satan that was given to him to buffet him. And so he went to the Lord and he begged of the Lord to remove the thorn, and he did it three times. And look at this. And what God said to him is no. What happens when God says no? What happens if God says no concerning this pandemic? What happened if God says no to the loved one that is laying on their bed of affliction and looks like death is knocking on their door? What happens when situations just aren't going my way and I'm going to be thrown out of my house because I can't pay the mortgage? I'm going to be thrown out of my apartment or my rent space because I can't pay the rent. What happens if those things does not happen? Paul said, when I am weak, I am made strong. And the only way that we are made strong is we learn to give it to God. Are y'all following that? And so we got to give it to God. So when there is the expectation of celebration, you might not celebrate the negative circumstances, but acknowledges that even in your negative moments, God has his hand on you. And what I can celebrate and what I can shout about is that God is still working things out in my life. Amen, church. So we don't get discouraged and we don't become afraid, but we're thankful to the Lord for his hand on my life. And I know that whatever God is doing is going to be greater than any problem that I might face on my journey. Amen. And so expectation with celebration comes when God keeps his hand on my life and he continues to lead me where he wants me to go and direct my steps in the path that he's already paved for me. I'm thankful for that. And so you should be thankful for that this morning. And whatever the predicament that you might find yourself in, remember, it does not hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all of that stuff going on in the world, it didn't stop Christ from coming. Are y'all following that? And so, thirdly, this really is my last point. I may have one more. That is the expectation with collaboration. Expectation with collaboration. What are you saying, AC? You are not alone. You didn't hear me. You are not alone. You are in relationship with the Lord. Look at the verse. The Bible says this. It says, well, I guess I'll pick this Bible up. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. That's a point of celebration. That goes back to the second point Don't worry about it. God got it. Take her as your wife. Y'all follow that? For that, listen, here is the collaboration. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God will never leave us alone. God's hand through the triune Godhead is always active and working things out on our behalf. I'm glad that I don't have to go to the government to take care of my situation all of the time. I'm thankful that I don't have to go to certain to my friends to get things worked out. I'm thankful that I don't have to run back to my parents to get things out, but I can always go to God. I can always stand in the face of God and make my appeal for help, because it was the Lord himself, Jesus, that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So there is no time that we are alone, even when we feel alone. And I know that there are times of loneliness, especially during these times that we have to quarantine ourselves. And when you do have to get out, you're walking around not knowing the circumstances, not knowing if the person next to you has the virus, not knowing is it just in the air or whatever it is. We walk around with a degree of stress in our lives, because if we get caught up in the collaboration with the world, we're going to have those stressful moments in our lives. But when our collaboration is with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father through the Holy Spirit, we can have an assurance that everything is going to be okay. We can rest in our spirit. We don't have to fret. We can sit longer in our homes. We can go without some income. We can we can wash the clothes that I have. I don't get to go to the mall and keep buying clothes. I don't get to go out and eat like I used to. I don't get to. There are a lot of things we don't get to do now because of our circumstances. But as I said earlier, that the anticipation that I have because of who God is that there's a time that's coming when I'll be able to do some of those things, not because God planned for me to do them, but because God allows me to do them. And that's just through his goodness and through his mercy that we're able to do that. And so the collaborating with the Father says that he will work those things out if we keep our hands in his hands. Is that all right? Look at this. And then lastly, I said there might be one more. There's the expectation with confirmation. Expectation with confirmation. Lord, are you really there? Lord, can you really do what you said you would do? Lord, can I trust you to keep my life in your hands? Lord, will you bring me through this difficult moment, whatever it is, not just the pandemic, but life. One thing I found out is it's not just the pandemic that we have to fight on a daily basis, but we have to just deal with life every day that we wake up. Life still takes place. Whatever it is, life continues to take place. Amen. And so what's the confirmation that I have that you're going to be there for me? Y'all remember, and this is what I'll finish with, in John 14, I love John 14. This is where I wanted to go. John says, he says, let not, somebody say, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't I so, I would have told you. And all of that, and y'all know that. And so the Lord is confirming with his disciples in John 14, because he is on his way to the cross. His situation of confrontation, which is another thing, there has to be an expectation of confrontation. I'm not going to even deal with that, but we have confronting challenges all the time. And so Jesus's own confronting situation is that in John 14, he's on his way to the cross, and he has to comfort his own disciples about his death. And so he tells them, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. I'm going not just for myself, but I'm going for you. So I have confirmation that Jesus is working out my situation. And I'm thankful for that, whatever that is. And I can have a greater peace in my life just knowing that all things are well, because all things rest in his hands. Is that all right? The situation, another situation over in Luke chapter 7, verse number 18, that people were wondering, well, what about Jesus? And that was John, who had been preaching. He had been preaching in the wilderness. He had been preaching fire and brimstone messages about get your life together. And let me say this, not that we have to do the fire and brimstone thing, but we need to be encouraging people all the time that they need to come to a place in their heart to where they know the Lord. We don't need to stop doing the work of the kingdom because of our circumstances. We need to confront those challenges and continue to go make disciples. And so John heard about the coming of Jesus. And so he took some of his own disciples. He said, y'all go find out who this guy is. And I don't have time to go through that. And so those men went and they saw Jesus doing what he did as far as miracles, signs, and wonders, and all of those great things, and the word that he spoke, and how he spoke it with authority, those types of things. And then they went up to Jesus and confirmation and said, are you the one, or should we seek another? Jesus simply told them, you go tell John what you've seen. You go tell John what you've heard. Tell John to not worry. Tell him not to be afraid. Tell him don't be challenged with whether I'm the one or not. You let him know, and John will know, because John knows the prophets. Are you hearing me? We have to know God's word. We have to have the word of God built up in our spirit so that when we are challenged, when we are faced with difficulty, then we won't have the confrontation of those things happening in our lives. God is good. Amen. God is more than able to do for us than we can do for ourselves. So like he told John, told the disciples, you go tell John. I'm saying to you this morning, you go tell those you know that Jesus Christ is Lord. During this time of Advent, during this time of expectation of a coming king, you tell them that he is coming again. There's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be so much Advent about a birth, but it's going to be so much about a renewal of life, to where the Lord will take us up. We'll meet him in the air. And I believe it is in Thessalonians, it said, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we look forward to the time of Jesus's second coming. He's coming again. And upon that coming, we'll be able to live with him throughout eternity. The expectation of a coming king, the first coming is he came as a child. The second coming is that he came as a savior. He is the savior of the world, and he will save us from our sins. His name is Jesus. God bless you. God keep you. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. But most of all, we thank you for our son, your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for allowing him to be in our lives that we might know you because of him. Help us, Lord, as we get through these difficult times, that we'll not fret and that we'll not stress beyond measure, but rather we'll turn our face to you. Guide and direct our steps if it be your holy will. For it is in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.